VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And friends, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. I have some questions for you. How secure is your medical information? I mean, your health history, the medications you're taking, the doctors or specialists that you visit, the results of your test? Why are there efforts being taken by states for a centralization of medical data? Why have states retained blood samples from newborn infants? Does HIPAA ensure your privacy? Can socialized medicine be stopped? Well, you're invited to stay tuned as we address these and other related issues today on Crosstalk as we welcome back Twyla Brace, president and co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. They're a national, patient-centered, privacy-focused, free market policy organization to support healthcare choices, individualized patient care, and medical and genetic privacy. Twyla is a certified public health nurse, author of the award-winning book, Big Brother in the Exam Room, The Dangerous Truth About Electronic Health Records. She's a speaker on the daily Health Freedom Minute that's heard on stations across the nation. Twyla, thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Oh, it's always good to be with you, Jim.
Well, Twyla, it was 14 years ago this past Saturday that the so-called Affordable Care Act was signed into law by then-President Barack Obama. And I'd like to share with you the opening paragraph of a press release that went out last Friday from the Biden-Harris campaign. And I'm just going to read the first four sentences and get your comment here. Here's what they say. Quote, "The Affordable Care Act is without doubt the most consequential piece of health care legislation in decades, providing millions of Americans with the freedom and security to live the life that they want without the fear that one accident or illness will bankrupt them and their families. When I ran for president in 2020, I promised the American people that I would protect the Affordable Care Act from partisan attacks and build on it. That's exactly what I've done, getting more people affordable health insurance, lowering prescription drug prices, and giving families more breathing room. Now more Americans have affordable health insurance than ever before. Premiums are down, and enrollment is at an all-time high." I'm going to stop right there and get your comments, Twyla.
Well, you just got to laugh, I guess, at how somebody can say something that is so off the base or off the mark from what Americans are actually experiencing. I would agree that it was a very consequential law, but it did not improve freedom, certainly didn't improve security. It took away real insurance. It gave us unaffordable premiums and unaffordable deductibles and no other options. And so there's nothing affordable about this. Ask people if their premiums are down. I don't think that they would agree with that.
Yeah.
And so this was just, it's kind of a lie on its face. I don't know. Maybe they're living in a different bubble.
Yeah, well, premiums have been skyrocketing for many individuals. Some years seeing double-digit increases, and then also deductibles have gone way up in various plans. And for many, they're just saying, and we see also medical debt across this nation is skyrocketing.
Right, and the prices of the care itself are not any lower. And So you're facing high costs at every level, from care to coverage to the different parts of the coverage. And then, of course, you have a health plan, and the health plan is allowed to deny you access to care. It's not real insurance. So this was never a good move, but of course it met their agenda for moving toward a national healthcare system, so they love it. But it's really bad for America, and it's bad for the American people.
Has this pushed medical professionals out of the system into early retirement?
I don't know that the Affordable Care Act has done it as much as perhaps, well, there is one part of it that's probably done it, but as much as the electronic health record system, which really has just caused all healthcare professionals to become data clerks, maybe more than they care for patients. They are caring for the paperwork. They're caring for the reporting. They're making sure all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed, having nothing to do with patient care, but having to do with getting all the data to the health plans and all the data to the government, without which they will not get paid. So, there's a completely different pressure in healthcare today, and that is the pressure of reporting and the pressure of meeting that, not the patient's needs, but meeting the reporting requirements.
Twyla, did I hear you correctly? I am just making sure that my marbles aren't loose in my brain right now. Did you say reporting, getting all the reporting information to the government?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, there's all sorts of reporting for the, and by the government, I mean that the government has basically about 50% of Americans are in a government program. And because of that, the government requires a lot of data, and now they can require even more because it's all digitized. So there's so much reporting to the government that happens. And when you are in the exam room, you know that the doctor or the nurse or the aide or whomever is not facing you, talking to you. They are facing the computer, and they're putting all the data in. They're asking you questions that maybe have nothing to do with your care, but it's something that the government wants or the health plan wants. You know, to prove that they are a quality doctor or a quality clinic, they've got to, you know, provide these quality metrics, including, for instance, what percent of their population has been vaccinated. That's one of the quality metrics. That's one of the reasons why there was such a push to get everybody, you know, to get the COVID shot, and that's why there's the push for the flu vaccine. It's why some doctors actually oust parents and their children from their practice because the parents are saying, no, I want to wait to give shots to my children, right? This is all because of the reporting, and the reporting causes or allows the outsiders, the government and the health plans, to control what happens in the exam room. That's what the electronic health records are doing, allowing outsiders to control what happens.
Twyla Bray is our guest here today on Crosstalk. And Twyla, you heard my questions at the beginning of the program. You're an advocate for privacy-focused health care. How secure is one's medical information? And then speaking about this, I'd like you to include comments on the February 21st cyber attack on Change Healthcare owned by United Health Group.
Sure. Well, there's, you know, if you ask the average person out on the street, what does it mean to have your data secure? It means that nobody else can get into it. But in government speak, security means that while they transfer it hither and yon to all sorts of people that you don't know and haven't given permission to because of HIPAA, HIPAA doesn't require consent for all sorts of sharing of data, they promise to keep it secure in the midst of those transactions. So when you ask the question about how secure is your data, well, it's not secure at all when it comes to how the American public itself believes their data should be protected from outside eyes. But the government would say, no, we keep it secure. We're sharing it all over the place, but we're keeping it secure while we're sharing it. Wow. But I don't believe that's what Americans believe security means.
Right. And I'd like you to comment on HIPAA because we're led to believe that HIPAA is synonymous with medical privacy.
Well, this is what we call the deliberate deception. This deliberate deception has been foisted on the American population for, we're on to, I think, the 21st year now. And as a matter of fact, April, which we're just about into April is our Truth About HIPAA month. And we will be having a very creative campaign this April to tell the truth to Americans about HIPAA. It'll be on our social media sites. It'll be a series of cartoons or comic strips, rather. And so, you know, I encourage your listeners to go to our Twitter account and Instagram and Facebook. And starting on April 2nd, that'll be the very first comic. And so HIPAA doesn't protect anybody's privacy. Our comics will make that very, very clear. And then the other thing is, I know you asked me about Change Healthcare, right?
The February 21st cyber attack.
Yeah, the cyber attack, right? And it shows you how vulnerable the Congress and the president have made our medical records, but not only that, our entire healthcare system. Because now that everything is digitized and connected together in these, in these networks and networks of networks, right? So Change Healthcare, which allows for the transmission of claims. So you want your bill paid, you know, you want to transmit it to the insurance company. And then you want the insurance company to transmit money to your doctor, your hospital, or whomever, right? All of this, Change Healthcare does like something like a quarter or a third maybe of all of the transactions in the country. And so virtually for a month or almost for a month, it was shut down. It was trying to, you know, come back online, and hospitals were bleeding red. They weren't getting paid. Doctors weren't getting paid. one doctor's office said it had only received 15% of its payments. And so this shows you how easily the entire healthcare system could be shut down by simply one player. In this case, it was a ransomware attack by a group called Black Cat.
So was this limited to those like on Medicaid or Medicare, or was this just universal with the United Healthcare?
No, it was universal. It wasn't just the government programs. United Healthcare is the largest health plan in the country, but also the largest one in the world. And so this is a company, you know, like a subsidiary, a company that it owns to do all of this. And we can see how, despite being the largest and probably having the most amount of money to protect itself from, you know, a cyber attack like this, it wasn't able to. And so you had Congress, or maybe it was the president, who was asking United Health Group to put forward loans to hospitals and healthcare systems that were just crying for money, because across the nation, $1 billion a day was not being paid across the whole nation. And so, you know, they need money for all sorts of things every day that has to come in, and it wasn't. And now, for the most part, it is online, but they say for some of the smaller practices, it is still not online.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I also saw in a release from your organization that 6 out of 10 healthcare organizations experienced a ransomware attack in the past year. Now, Twyla, this news has not really been front and center in newscasts across the nation.
Yes, nobody really talks about it, right? Because, well, I don't know why they talk about it. They want people to feel confident, maybe, in the security of their data, but of course their data is not secure, and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services actually has something that has been called the Wall of Shame, and I talk about it in my book, Big Brother in the Exam Room. So the Wall of Shame is every major cyber attack or breach of data, and you know, they just go on and on and on and on. Lots of them you never hear about. Some of the really small ones, which are like 500 or less, but that could be your data, right? And then it means something great to you, right? But they don't all get reported. But if it's 500 or more medical records that have been breached, they have to be reported. But, you know, some of these breaches are, you know, 1 million records, 2 million records, 8 million records. You know, we have been made vulnerable by all of those who want access to our data that got the HIPAA passed, you know, by Congress, but then also got the electronic health record mandate. That was President Obama and the Democrat Congress in 2009, right after his first election. That bill was passed 4 weeks to the date from his inauguration, which means they worked on it a long time before he ever got into office, to have that ready to go, basically, once he got in. And that mandated that every hospital and every clinic have an electronic health record, or they would be penalized through Medicare with Medicare payments. They wouldn't receive as much money. And so that, you know, that electronic health record is not there because your doctor wants it or your hospital wants it. It's there because the government mandated it.
Wow. Twyla Bray is with us here today on Crosstalk. The quest for medical privacy is our topic. We're going to get into more issues after the break, and I trust you'll stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, why is helium so much lighter than the other gases?
Chris, helium is lighter because it's a smaller atom, far smaller than any other gas except hydrogen. There's a very interesting lesson we can learn from this. We know how many atoms of helium are out there from a direct observation. We also know how fast helium is produced below the Earth's surface and how fast it enters the atmosphere. By doing simple division, we can see that all of the helium that's in the atmosphere would get here in a rather short period of time, far too short to have allowed for evolution to occur. Once again, Chris, we see that the scientific evidence supports the biblical way of thinking and not the evolution way of thinking. Back to Genesis wins again.
To find out more about creation science, visit us on the web at www.icr.org. That's www.icr.org.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Twyla Bray is our guest today, who is the president, co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. And Twyla, earlier you had mentioned about these emphasis you're going to have during the month of April. You mentioned your social media accounts, et cetera. So plug us into what is your social media accounts, your website, and so forth, where our listeners can obtain up-to-date information on so many of these issues.
Yes, we have a Facebook page, which is, I just believe, you just have to put in CCH Freedom. And we have the very same thing for our Twitter account, CCH Freedom. And I think it's the very same for Instagram.
Great.
CCH Freedom. And of course, our homepage, cchfreedom.org, we will have at least one of them showcased as we go along through the month.
Okay. Again, friends, the main site, cchfreedom.org. O-R-G, that stands for Citizens Council for Health Freedom. So, Twyla, as we're talking about this matter of medical privacy, and many people just assume, there are spouses that have a hard time getting records on their, you know, ask a medical question about their spouse because, well, we can't give that because of HIPAA, we're told that. But so, whereas it seems HIPAA is used to keep privacy between sometimes husband and wife, it's freely being shared with government agencies.
Yeah, I think, you know, I call that the HIPAA hassles. And so these are things that are meant to make you believe that you have privacy, like, you know, stand 10 feet behind the pharmacy counter, right?
Yeah.
Those sorts of things. But, you know, in effect, there is no privacy under HIPAA. There are so many ways that they can share it. I know in 2010 there was a proposed HIPAA rule, and they talked about all of the entities that were affected. And so there's 702,000 covered entities, and those are the ones you expect to have data, like labs and hospitals and health plans and doctor's offices, those kind of folks, right? And then there's 1.5 million business associates, and sometimes those covered entities, those hospitals and health plans, et cetera, act as business associates to others. Anyway, so there's 2.2 million entities that can have access to your data if those who hold your data choose to share the data. They don't have to, but they can, and so they can have access to it without your consent.
Twyla, is it true that some states, I mean, we talk about medical privacy, but is it true that some states have been secretly retaining blood from newborns?
Well, for a long time, yes, sometime in the mid-1990s, states decided that this was a valuable resource. So when newborn screening takes place, there are blood from the child's heel is dripped onto a special card, which has special filter paper on it, and that is used to check for certain genetic or metabolic conditions. And so newborn screening is considered the largest population-wide genetic testing program in the nation. Well, in the mid-1990s, they started looking at these cards of dried blood. They call them dried blood spot cards. And they decided this was a valuable resource because it was on every baby. And so now for some states are keeping those blood spot cards completely without parent consent. And it's really the DNA of the child. Now, government cannot come in. They are totally forbidden to come in and take your DNA and keep it in a government database unless you've been a criminal. And so, but they're doing this for children. And I think the last time we counted the states that were doing it 10 years to forever, I think it was like 16 states. Mm. Some states have backed away from that because of our work on this issue. And so they know that parents don't want this. They don't want to be sued. There have been 5 lawsuits. I think the Michigan one has had several wins, and I think there still might be another one coming out of there. And so some states don't want to be sued, and so they have backed away from keeping it long term. Some states never did, but some states continue forever, like Michigan. It says, you know, it's 100 years indefinitely, Minnesota indefinitely. And you can go on our website. We've got a special web page for this, but you can also find it on our main website. But the special web page is itsmydna.com. And then you can find out how long your state is retaining the DNA of children or whether they're, you know, getting rid of it right away.
itsmydna.com is that website. Twyla,
right.
I know that you also took an advocacy position about legislation in Iowa that would establish a centralization of medical data. What's happening in Iowa?
Well, now we think that the bill is dead, but the bill has been moving forward. We didn't hear about it until a legislator in Iowa contacted us looking for help. And so then we learned about it. They called this database the Health Data Utility, not like anybody would ever know what that meant, right? But it was to centralize the collection of all medical records within the state, and they would do things like conduct research, provide useful access. I think there were a number of different things that they said were things that this database would do. But, you know, in point of fact here, we have a right to not have the state collect all of our medical records into one central location or collect them at all or you know, provide access to them at all. Now, Iowa, like many states, does have a state health information exchange. We don't think that's a constitutional idea either, where the state creates this network where if your doctor asks for information from all the places you've been to in their state or in another state, that this utility just sort of goes into the open portals of the hospitals, the clinics, the labs that you've been in, and pulls out all the data related to you, and then shows it to your doctor or shows it to your hospital, wherever it is. That's what these state health information exchanges do. They don't centralize the data. They just gather it from wherever it is through all of these open portals and send it to your doctor or your hospital, even though you might not want your doctor or hospital to see data that you did in a certain state or a certain hospital or a certain doctor because you wanted that to be confidential. But if all of those entities are on the network, all of that will be pulled. Mm. And so this health data utility from Iowa was actually to centralize the data and then have the entity that's running the state health information exchange actually run this thing too, this centralized database. And so we wrote a letter to Governor Kim Reynolds and said this was a very bad idea, and we said, you don't do it. And then, of course, we just helped the legislators with, you know, reasons and rationale and information that they needed in order to argue against this. And as far as we know, that bill is currently dead, but I don't think that those who want it may have backed away from it. Mm-hmm. You know, but sessions come and go and some things die. And so we hope that it has died for this session.
Okay. Well, that's Iowa. And Twyla, you also have a warning for listeners in Minnesota about legislation that would advance single-payer health care in Minnesota. I thought that was something that was not going to happen under Obamacare.
Well, it's called the public option, and the public option means that what the government would do is it would create its own competitive insurance company to compete against other insurance companies. And of course, they could compete because they could always take money from taxpayers to lower the premium so that it would just drive the entire population in. But I am happy to say that we just found out, I think it was on Friday, that they are not going to push it forward because they don't have enough money for it. So this is good news. So we won't have this, but you can see that they still want to create, you know, state government health care for all or national government health care for all. They have not given up on this pipe dream. It's a terrible idea, and it should never be done. And all we have to do is look across our border at Canada and all the rationing that happens there, or in Great Britain and all the rationing that happens there. Besides, it's unconstitutional. In our country and in our states, this is unconstitutional.
Twyla Braid's with us today. CCHfreedom.org is the website for the Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Twyla, I'd like to hit another aspect here, and that is there are individuals who are wanting to find out their ancestry, want to know, you know, who are my ancestors, where they came from. And oftentimes people are being asked to submit DNA samples. You've got a concern about that. What is your concern?
Well, you know, I just tell people look at the fine print before they do this sort of thing. You know, they're all interested in, you know, finding out what their ancestry is and seeing if they can find, I don't know, XYZ about them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think there are several things of concern here. One is the fine print, which can oftentimes give these companies ownership over your DNA that you submit. And then they have the ability to use it for research, share it with others, that sort of thing. And 23andMe and Ancestry.com, they're going around to state legislators trying to secure ownership, actually secure ownership in state law of the data that you submit. So that's one thing to know. The other thing is, I think this is really nebulous as to what you are actually finding out and what they actually know. And if you look further into it without just believing all the marketing, you might find out that they are far less secure about what they tell you than they themselves are. So they tell you one thing, but then they don't actually know how sure it is. And if they can prove to you that this is really true, you might, you know, want to put the money and belief into this. But I think in a lot of things that I have read that it's not such a solid deal as they're making it sound. But you know, feel free, because you know, it's a free country. You can do what you want, but you need to understand some of these things.
Also, just as an FYI, the National Institutes of Health has what they're calling an All of Us research program. This is a program, and I'm looking at their site right now, inviting 1 million people across the U.S. to help build one of the most diverse health databases in history. We welcome participants from all backgrounds. Researchers will use the data to learn how to know about our biology and lifestyle, environmental effect, and how those things affect their health. This may one day help them find ways to treat and prevent disease. And Twyla, they're looking for people to submit, you know, DNA, you know, to be a part of this All of Us research.
Right. And actually, they have a truck or a van or whatever you want to call it, display you can walk through that they've taken to state fairs and other places. And I have been through it and asked some, you know, questions that I thought people would like to know. I am pleased to say that as long as it hasn't changed, there's more consent requirements in that. And more upfront, like, you know, do you want us to do this? You're going to let us do this, you know, that sort of thing. And there is also the ability to retract and to leave, and then they won't use your DNA any longer. However, of course, the DNA that has been shared, they cannot retract that. Mm-hmm. But there is more, I think there's more rights on that than, like, even what 23andMe is trying to do.
Twyla, I know also you've been observing President Biden's budget proposal, and you've got some concerns as it relates to health care. What is your concern?
Well, there's just one thing that I really want to point out, and that is the fact of the matter is that Medicare is going broke. And for anybody who thinks it's not true, this is, like, really true. And the date is 2031, 7 years from now. And when it will only be able to pay, they expect 89% of its bills. And so what President Biden has offered here in his proposal is that the people who make $400,000 or more are to be taxed, have an increased tax. So from, I think it was from 3.8% of a tax to 5% tax. And he claims that that will keep Medicare in place for the next 25 years. Well, the fact of the matter is Medicare was always a Ponzi scheme. It was always a Ponzi scheme. And everybody who was at the beginning of it, the 19 million and up, 19 million people got into Medicare when not one single dime had been collected for it. And so, you know, now it is definitely running out of money. And so he's trying to tax people more.
Wow. Part of the president's budget bill. Friends, a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to be looking at COVID for just a bit. And yes, people are still being fired for refusing the shot. And we'll talk about ivermectin just a bit and some more topics. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Israel. It's only about the size of New Jersey, yet it makes headlines all over the world. Throughout history, many attempts have been made to annihilate the Jews. Threats continue today to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. Yet none of these attempts have ever succeeded. In the book, Miracle of Israel, authors Gary Fraser and Jim Fletcher present the shocking, untold story of God's love for His people. The authors take you back to Israel past, focusing on God's promise to Abraham, the entry into the Promised Land, and the message of the prophets. You'll read of Israel present, with events leading up to and including Israel becoming a nation. And you'll read of Israel's future, the Gog and Magog War, the Great Tribulation,
and the Millennial Kingdom. Miracle of Israel is available for a donation of $17 or more when you call 1-800-729-9829.
Our guest today in Crosstalk is Twyla Braze from the Citizens Council for Health Freedom, and their website, cchfreedom.org. And you can certainly link to their other social media accounts through that as well. The other website she gave earlier, itsmydna.com. Twyla, you've got some upcoming events next week that's going to take you into both Iowa and Sioux Falls. First of all, just give us an overview of some of the topics you'll be discussing at these events.
Yes, so I will be discussing Medicare traps, a lot of traps that people understand in Medicare, and 10,000 people are entering Medicare every day, so they need to know the traps. We'll be looking at the HIPAA lies. We'll be looking at public health powers and COVID update, because there's so many things about COVID that a lot of people don't think about, and they think COVID's all over, but it's really not, and the powers to be are using COVID for all it's worth to really shut down people's liberties.
So, friends, you'll find more information at cchfreedom.org, but specifically Monday, April 1, Rock Rapids, Iowa, from 7 to 8:30 p.m., meeting in the community room at the Frontier Bank on First Avenue. And then also on, April 2nd, Tuesday of next week in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, at the Military Heritage Alliance Family Center. And then on Wednesday the 3rd at 12 noon at the Living Word Church Fellowship Hall, that also is in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, on Meredith Avenue. And again, for these things, they do ask you to RSVP at you can get the information, cchfreedom.org. Is there a number they may also call, Twyla?
Sure, they can call our office number, which is 651-646-8935.
And they've got other locations as well. You can reach out to them, 651-646-8935. Well, Twyla, we're still not past the COVID mandates, it seems. Just recently, reports emerging showing that 48 colleges across the country continue to require prospective students to receive the COVID-19 shot for admission.
Yeah, so this is crazy because so many young people are the ones who are experiencing myocarditis or, you know, unexpected sudden death. Right?
Yes.
And yet there were 70, but now it's a number of them are, you know, walking away from that, but still 48. And so you can't get an education unless you put your life at risk. This is, you know, this is so ridiculous. It's criminal. These organizations shouldn't even have students going because they're not even trying to protect the students against the harm that could happen to them. So yes. And then when you talk about, you know, what's happening with, I know you mentioned about being fired. So, you know, there was a professor at Harvard that was just fired because he refused the COVID shot and he has immunity. He's already had COVID, you know, but they said, nope, you can't be here. And because the hospital got rid of you. And so now we're going to get rid of you at the Harvard University. And so what you really see here is, you know, they all talk about science, but they really don't mean it. They mean power. They mean control. They mean coercion. They don't mean science because there's no science in anything that any of them are doing here. And there never was science actually in the shot itself. There wasn't enough people. There wasn't enough long-term science to see what was going to happen. The people who died, Pfizer didn't even talk about. So there's nothing about science and truth and what's going on here. This is all about power and control.
Wow, wow. You've indicated that the battle over ivermectin must be won. Now, hasn't ivermectin been FDA approved for over 4 decades or about 4 decades?
Yes, and the FDA just lost a lawsuit, but they wouldn't say that they lost. They would say that they settled, right? And so... so they, on the 21st, which was just a few days ago, it was announced that they had agreed to take all of these prescriptive tweets and Instagrams and website posts off of their website because they were saying things like, stop it, or don't take it. So they were actually practicing medicine. That was the charge of the three doctors who sued them. Now, they never agreed that they were practicing medicine. They never assumed any guilt. They never apologized, but they are removing these. Now, I just believe this wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. There shouldn't have just been a slap on the hand. Lots of people died because of what they did. Lots of people. We will never know how many people died because of the fact that they kept ivermectin from being used in the hospitals, being used outside the hospitals. They forced people to go to India to get ivermectin, to go to Mexico to get ivermectin. You know, they forced people to go when their life was, when they had no option. They didn't have enough time to wait to get it from India, right? Mm-hmm. So they would go to a feed and seed place and get ivermectin that was used for horses. You know, the wonderful thing, though, about ivermectin, I will say this, I've been traveling all over the country giving these presentations, and this is the one thing that I really tell people, you know, take this to the water cooler, take this to your church banquet, take it wherever. The fact that in Cameroon, there's a case study, a 19-year-old young lady in Cameroon decided she was going to commit suicide, and ivermectin was her drug of choice. She was found after having taken 400 pills of a 500-pill bottle, and they took her to the hospital. She had gastric symptoms. She had neuro symptoms. She had lots of symptoms, but all they really gave her was comfort, and they gave her fluids. And so after 5 days, they released her, and she's now in the university and studying. So, you know, people say this is really, really dangerous. She took 400 3-milligram tablets.
My.
She did not die, and she is now studying, and she passed her exam to get into college. She's fine, right? This is something, this is not an unsafe drug. This is truly safe and effective as compared to the vaccines, mm-hmm. which aren't vaccines.
Do you think we're going to get to a point where a person will be able to walk up to their pharmacist and get a prescription freely on this? I mean, you certainly have to pay something, but it's going to be a recognized treatment for things such as, you know, the COVID-19 or other related issues?
This is why this lawsuit was not a total win on our side, because that has not been stopped. The pursuit of doctors giving ivermectin and prescribing ivermectin, it's still there. Doctors are still afraid. I don't think this is going to change anything. You can go to Tennessee, where they have hiked up the price enormously to get ivermectin, but at least it could save your life. You can walk into compounding pharmacies in particular, but several others. You can order it online as well from some in Tennessee. So at least we have Tennessee. But we have to get to the point where we actually have that freedom, because we should have had a bigger win. It was a win, but we should have had a bigger win.
Friends,
they should have had a bigger loss.
Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We're opening our phone lines here at 800-733-9829. Your questions today or brief comments for Twyla Braes, 800-733-9829. Twyla, can socialized medicine be stopped, or has the train left the station too long ago to turn back?
Okay, so this that's such a great question. It's a great question because I always tell people, never talk the language of inevitability. Never, ever, ever. Never say things like, well, when we get socialized medicine, or, you know, when they give us socialized medicine. You've already acquiesced in your language. Mm-hmm. Never, ever, ever do that. And so, of course, socialized medicine can be stopped. It just takes the will of the people. It takes God, you know, deciding to help the people, because, you know, socialized medicine means that other people get to play God in our life. They get to decide when we're of value and when we're not, and when we can have care and when we can't. You know, this is bad for patients, bad for the Constitution. You know, it's just wrong, right? And so, of course, it can be stopped. It's just a matter of who decides to stand up and when they decide to stand up and how insidious it will be versus how strong the fight has to be. We don't know all those details. But anything can be stopped. You just have to, you know, decide you're going to stop it and then work to make it happen.
And you've got tools available on your site to help people, lead them down this pathway, correct?
That's correct. And presentations, too. That's part of our presentation. That's my presentation. You know, it's like you don't have to accept this, and this is what it is. And right now it's called health plan. Your health plan is the corporate version of socialized medicine. And if you don't understand that, you don't understand how insidious this is. This was Ted Kennedy's plan to get us all into socialized medicine, to socialize it at the corporate level first, and then you would all get used to being told no. And once you were used to being told no, which regular health insurance doesn't tell you no, they don't get in the middle anywhere, then it would be so much easier to impose a government version of socialized medicine across the country. And so we're working against the health plans, we're working for truth, and of course we're building the parallel system of cash-based doctors and cash-based hospitals eventually, and real health insurance that pays you cash. I mean, older people remember this. When the health insurance company sent them a check to pay for all of their hospital and healthcare bills, They remember that. That can happen again. Never think that that can't happen again. It will happen again. That's the only way we can protect freedom in this country is not to be in socialized medicine.
Our phone lines are packed here. We're going to begin with Joe in Laval, Wisconsin. Joe, you're on the air.
Hi, Ms. Schmeier and Ms. Brace. My mother really likes your Health Freedom Minute in the morning to start off her day. But I just want to raise attention to this one very, very important consequence to protecting or not protecting your medical information.
Mm-hmm.
So you have certain medical conditions. It could be like diabetes or schizophrenia or any type of chronic condition. All someone has to do is get a driver behavior report, and they file it with the Department of Transportation, like here in Wisconsin, and have like someone like a cop, let's say, sign off on it. And then without any review, without any appeal, the DOT will medically suspend your license, and then you have to go to a doctor and get a checkup. So it's really important to protect your medical information so that people don't just file complaints because, well, so-and-so has this chronic condition. So we'll just make up a story or raise the possibility that maybe he had, like, a diabetic coma attack or something like that while he was driving. It can be very much abused, like psychiatry was abused in the Soviet Union, and that's my comment.
Thank you, Joe. Any comment, Twyla?
Nope, but that just shows that's just another reason to protect your data, another reason to maybe pick a cash-based doctor who won't let your data go anywhere.
Let's go to Faith in California. Faith, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Thank you for your guests today and just her information on all of this. As you know, I'm in California, and we have some pretty tyrannical things happening out here. I was just wondering if with this kind of stance that you take, if you see any type of, I guess, favor coming down the pipelines in California in regards to childhood immunizations, because it's pretty rough here. You can't even attend a private school unless you're fully vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. Twyla?
Yeah, so I'm not sure about any specifics, but I would just say this is one of the things that is, for example, it's not only the coercion and the agendas here about having everybody get vaccinated or whatever kind of kickbacks there may be from the pharmaceutical companies, but also at the health plan and health and hospital and clinic level, there are these quality metrics imposed by health plans or by government that say a certain percentage of your patients need to be vaccinated for you to get a full quality score. Otherwise, you could get demerits, essentially, in not having enough of your population vaccinated. And the other thing is, if you're in a group practice, if you're the only one who's giving your patients freedom to not get vaccinated on the typical childhood schedule, then your colleagues might get perturbed at you because it's decreasing their quality score for the whole clinic.
Thank you for the call. We're up against a break. I'm going to have to move on. But there's another guest that we've interviewed as well, and this is Barbara Lowe Fisher from the National Vaccine Information Center. They do have nvicadvocacy.org that actually tracks state legislation. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. On March 25th, the United Nations Security Council voted on a resolution calling for a ceasefire by Israel in the Gaza Strip, and it passed overwhelmingly. 14 nations voted in favor, 0 voted against it, and the United States of America, their ambassador, abstained. This was a resolution calling for the destruction of Israel, because if they do not stamp out Hamas, backed by Hezbollah and Iran, then What they're really voting on is the elimination of the Jewish people. Remember their anti-Semitic chant, from the river to the sea. That means the elimination of the Jews. The world just voted against Israel. God says in his word in Genesis, I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. I'm very concerned about what's going to happen to all of us in the world today based on this world vote.
Just a reminder that next week, Twiley is going to be speaking in Rock Rapids, Iowa on the 1st and then also on the 2nd and 3rd in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. For more information, go to their website, cchfreedom.org, or you may reach out at 651-646-8935 and get more information. And these are not the only locations. She's speaking in many places around the country. And by going to their website, you can find out about other locations also. Let's continue with our calls. Beth in West Allis, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, I just want to briefly state my experience here. I got a letter, I get the letters of all of you, too. I get that request myself several times this past year. But also I got a letter recently, a couple months ago, that this largest teaching hospital here in Milwaukee, that their affiliate company that they affiliate with, they hacked into medical records. So they not only get your name, address, telephone number, they get your medical history, your diagnosis, your treatment, your test results, they get all of that. So, you know, it goes beyond just them wanting to have you voluntarily give it to them. And then, you know, then they have this situation. And, you know, the thing that comes across my mind is, if this is such a big, huge hospital, and the one thing that they always tell you, which I always, when they say this to me, I just smile, you know, that they're secure. Your information is secure. Well, I know that's not true. Obviously, it's not. Mm-hmm. Now, they also then followed up with this letter that they haven't seen any compromise so far. Well, I don't know. It took them a while. It took them like 6 months or whatever it was to figure out that they were hacked into. So yeah. I don't, you know, you just can't believe anything that they say. You know, you're kind of just vulnerable to that because of the fact that you have nothing to use to follow up on.
Twyla.
Well, what I would say is that HIPAA was never, ever, ever intended to protect your privacy. It was always for a corporate or government agenda, and that corporate agenda includes profit, which I could say something about in a moment. But I just wanted to say about that is that they've said, you know, deliberately lied all of these years that this has something to do with privacy other than just getting rid of privacy. So you have good reason to wonder about anything that they say when it comes to HIPAA or privacy or security or anything, whether there's any, you know, even a tidbit of truth in there, right? The other thing about profit, I just want to say this, is United Health Group has a subsidiary called Optum Insights. And in 2020, and all they do is health data. They don't take our patients, just health data. And in 2020, their revenue was $18.9 billion. So, you know, everybody wants your data because it's gold. And so they're interested in your data, not in your privacy. Wow.
Beth, thanks for the call. Others lined up here. Mark in Washington State, you're on the air.
Yes, just got a question for you. Is there anything in the equine ivermectin that is actually dangerous to humans, supposing you take it in the right dosage?
Well, I'm not a good person to answer that question. The only thing that I'm going to say on that without actually answering your question is that a lot of people took it. A lot of people took it, and they got better. And so that's the only thing I'm going to say. The rest is up to you and what you can figure out, because I'm not qualified to answer that question.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. Mike in Plymouth, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, in relation to the ivermectin, I've heard quercetin is good for, you know, like helping to prevent COVID and stuff like that. I was just wondering your comments on that.
Oh, well, all I can say is just go to flccc.net, flccc.net. Look up their treatment protocols, and that includes prophylaxis. So just find the protocol that works for you and follow it. And they'll tell you everything about all of those medications for you to make those kind of decisions with them or on your own.
Okay, and that's the Frontline Doctors Group?
Nope, it is the Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance.
Very good. So FLCCC.net.
That's correct.
Let's go to Dominique in Maquanago. You're on the air.
Hello. I just was commenting on the caller who said she was from California and how they can't even go to private schools without being fully vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to give her some encouragement, if she's still on, that the Informed Consent Action Network, ICANN, so it's ICANNdecide.org, is actually pursuing. There's 5 states in America that are like California, and they just won in Mississippi. And after 45 years, they now have exemptions. And California is one of the states that they're doing. They just raised $1 million to help towards those cases, and they're always asking for more donations so they can do more states. But California is definitely one of them because it is absolute tyranny there. So I just wanted to encourage her. She can go to ICANNdecide.org.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm sure site maybe you're not familiar with. Well, I'm not familiar with it.
Oh, yes, I am.
Okay.
It's Del Bigtree's. It's Del Bigtree's.
Oh, okay.
And he does a lot of great work.
Okay, yeah. He was one of the speakers at Ron Johnson's forum that he had just recently, too.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure, yeah.
Again, friends, let me be sure to get this in today. CCHfreedom.org is the website. And their number as well, because many of you have other questions or issues here. Where is she speaking? 651-646-8935. Brian in Kentucky, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I got a question for Twyla. I was just wondering, I heard Peter McCullough talk about probably one of the best remedies is your povidone iodine. I think it's two teaspoons to like 2 ounces of distilled water. And I was just wondering if Twyla knows about that.
Yeah, povidone iodine, people are using it, like dripping it in their nose, but I'm not going to give any kind of measurements. Again, go to flccc.net and you can find out more information. You can also look up, povidone iodine for COVID, and you'll probably get the recipe.
Mm-hmm. We are out of time here today. We're less than a half minute yet in the program. Twyla, what would you like to leave with our listeners today?
Well, I think I'd like to leave with hope, because I think a lot of people don't feel a lot of hope. But I also want to say that we are doing there's always cause for hope, right? But we're also doing a Medicare handbook to help people make Medicare decisions, but probably not going to come out for about 2 months.
Okay.
So we'll let you know when that happens.
Great. Well, Twyla, thanks for carving out the time and joining us today.
Thank you. It was a joy.
Twyla Breeze, our guest here today. Again, she is president and co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. And learn more about them at cchfreedom.org. You may also reach out by telephone 651-646-8935. Going to be speaking in Iowa, South Dakota next week, and no doubt some other states on the horizon here as well. But you can call and get that information. Check it out on the website as well. Well, friends, thank you for stopping by today for Crosstalk. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.